The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat and This Week in Comics. This week, we're back with our normal format. We have something for Speculator's Corner, we have something for Back Issue Bonus, we have something for FOC, lots of something, we have something for Checkout, we get into the conversation about what we've been watching this week as well, and for news this week, we get into little AMC news, and we relate it to comic books, we have some Star Wars Disney Plus news, and we have Diamond's announcement. We also have a bunch of listener comments. Thanks for all of those. Keep them coming. If you haven't contacted us through Twitter or email, don't be shy. Let us know what you're reading, what you're watching. Comic book store. Everybody can take part. So speaking of taking part, let's head into the store and take part. Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Feeling refreshed.
Well, that's because you took a shower.
Well, that too.
I was there, mind you, for those that are listening at home.
No, I'm feeling refreshed, rejuvenated, ready to get back at it.
But we did have a Zoom meeting set up, so.
We were social distancing.
Yeah.
Nudie's back.
That's right. Well, that's supposed to be me, though.
Right, but you made the request.
That's true.
Oh, man. So, as everybody, you didn't know when we got off last, I didn't know, you didn't know, I haven't done the dailies since last Friday, so that's why I'm feeling all rejuvenated. It's like not having to podcast every day, not doing it every day. I'm dying to get back on here. And I'm actually pretty excited to be back here. Not that I am usually not, but you know, I mean, you get disappointed when I do the news on Wednesday morning and we go to talk and you're like, you already talked about it.
Yeah. Well, in this week, I have literally like two stories. So
they're pretty big ones though.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have some discussions about that, a decent discussion about those. So, and we always find something else to talk about, but.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. And the other thing is we're trying to get back to our format here. I think we've got something, at least a little something for each of our segments. So hopefully I'll be spending my money this week. We're going to get to those segments.
Well, the wheels are starting to churn a little bit. You know, we'll get to that a little bit more here in a minute, I guess. But, we're starting on the path to back to normalcy. So,
and we're having that conversation. So there's some light at the end of some tunnels, some other tunnels are still blocked off. So we'll get a little bit to that here in Massachusetts. I just found out that yesterday I'm not watching the news because it's just too depressing. So I get little updates here and there from my wife.
Right.
But, they just extended our, no work, no whatever until May 18th, which is exactly 2 weeks. They gave us two more weeks. I'm actually encouraged by that, believe it or not, because I think that where he only did two more weeks, that might put us at the place that you're at right now because our numbers are starting to go down from what I've heard. So maybe at that point we'll have been going down long enough that maybe we could start talking about getting to the point that you were at even just last week where you were allowed to reopen for curbside. So that would be great around here. Hopefully that'll happen for us. So we'll
hope
see.
So. Yeah, hope so. Looks like we might be starting to see the end of it. Of course the scare is always that we'll start to loosen things up and we'll go too far and let's just not even go there.
Well, I think we've all learned a lot and I think a lot of people want to do what's right and hopefully it doesn't flare back up.
Right.
But hey, we'll see. We'll see. How are things going? You've been doing curbside. You and I had a little conversation the other day. How have things been since then? And
So, yeah, we started curbside last Friday. You know, it was okay. You know, like we were talking earlier, you know, at this point, any money is money. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I'm not going to ever complain about
we'll
that.
We'll get to that. A little bit later, we'll get to that. I did contribute to your store.
You did. You did.
We'll get to that later. We don't want to big reveal.
You pushed me over the top. But, you know, so, I mean, I did, a few hundred bucks on Friday, a few hundred bucks on Saturday, another couple hundred bucks today. So, you know, I mean, it's trickling in, you know, again, more than zero. I mean, it's more than it was without the curbside. But the better news is we, you know, our stay-at-home order was set to expire on April 30th, and the big fear was that it was going to get extended as well. You and I talked about that the other day, and I was actually pretty certain that it would get extended, but lo and behold, our governor went on the press conference on Monday and said that he was going to allow it to expire, and that means we can go back to work and open back up with a limited capacity, but we can open back up on Friday, May 1st. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I got your email.
Yeah,
your
so we can
email. That's cool.
We can open back up at 25% capacity.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't know what my capacity is.
I saw. Did you come up with that number yourself?
Yeah, six? I arbitrarily came up with six, just based on how many people I really ever have at the store.
Right.
Any given time, anyways.
I said to Jen that I'm like, if you got six in the store right now, you'd be ecstatic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I'll even reach that. But the reason why I imposed that, and, you know, I put it in the email, in my Facebook post, and, you know, not to be super specific about just what I'm doing. But, you know, the hope is that, you know, giant groups don't come in together where only one person is making the purchase. It's just like
right. When
you go to the grocery store. They're telling you don't bring your whole family to the grocery store. Like,
right.
This isn't an outing. It's not the time to just have the whole family come to the comic book store so dad can pick up his books.
Right.
Because, you know, now there's six people in the store for
you
one
purchase.
You
outlined it pretty good in your email.
But yeah, I did. I put it in the email. I put it on Facebook. I put it on Instagram. It's a big sign taped to my front door. So, you know, hopefully we'll see what happens come Friday. I'm not anticipating having to ask anybody to wait outside. And, you know, honestly, six is probably, I mean, my building capacity has got to be at least 30, you know?
Right.
So 25% of that would still be like seven and a half people. So,
yeah.
You know, seven men and a baby can come in and do some shopping. So I don't know.
How
like,
cool. Honestly, though, let's put the bright side on this. How cool would it be if, like, 12 people showed up and you had a line? You got to get a picture
of that. It
would
be awesome.
That would be awesome. To get, you'd be like, excuse me, everybody, through your mask, because you got to wear a mask, right? And you have to have gloves. Oh, you don't have to have a mask?
We don't have to have – we're not mandatory masks.
But you have to have gloves?
It's recommended. I am requiring gloves.
Oh, cool.
It's not state mandated, but – you know, like, I don't want people coming in and rifling through the back issue. It's not like going to the grocery store where you just pick up your beans and leave. You know, I've got comics on the shelf. People are going to pick them up and look at them. And,
right.
You know, there's a lot of handling that has to be done. And, you know, I really kind of went around and round on how to handle the back issue comics and things like that. And really the easiest thing I could come up with was just requiring people to have gloves. You know, some suggestions that other stores were doing was that they were going to provide gloves by their back issue bins or what have you. Well, more power to you if you can source that many gloves. I can't.
You know, right.
I can't find them anywhere. I've got a box and a half for my store for my employees. I don't have enough to be able to provide them to all my customers, unfortunately.
Right.
So, but yeah, the glove requirement is something that I imposed. It's not actually state mandated.
Oh, that's cool.
But like I said, given the nature of the merchandise that I sell, I figured it was better safe than sorry with that. So hopefully, I'm looking forward to opening Friday, having a line of 12 people outside waiting to come in. you know, Friday's the first. You know, as of now, I'm a few hundred bucks away from being able to pay my rent, Well, you know, we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. You know, and hopefully we get back to some sense of normalcy here in the store. You know, again, we are going to have reduced hours. We're not going to close any days, but we're not going to be open as long every day.
Right.
At least initially, until I can see what kind of demand we have. You know, if the demand is there, then we'll expand the hours. But, you know, I'm also trying to limit payroll and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's the other thing is, so are you bringing back all your employees?
Yeah. Well, they're each going to work their day. You know, I have the one that works on Thursday and one that works on Sunday for my days off. And then they each kind of come in a couple of evenings during the week. But that's where they're going to be kind of cut off because
you're not doing evenings.
I'll be closing at 5 o'clock for at least a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then, you know, we'll start ramping it back up from there.
Back to the late night recordings.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, just to start jumping into the kind of like our news stories because it's very related. You know, Diamond put out an announcement on Monday that they are targeting May 20th to basically for the first New Comic Wednesday. And they'll ship on, I guess, Monday, you know, the Monday previous. But so we're looking to have new books on May 20th. So by then we'll probably be back up to full speed with our hours and hopefully no hiccups, you know, come along that force us to close the store back down again. So we'll basically be open 2 weeks or so without new comics. And then, like I said, we're kind of looking to be business as usual. It's not a giant slate of books that are coming out that first Wednesday. You know, when we get to our regular format, you know, we'll talk about the FOC, but we do have FOC coming up on Monday. So again, we're getting back into our routines. Those are going to be for the book shipping on the 20th. DC had an FOC this past Monday, for the books, that they were selling through the other alternate distributors. This is the FOC for Diamond, to ship those same books. So we did that this past Monday. I don't know what the, I would imagine those would be targeted for that May 20th date as well. It was more to give us the option to reduce our numbers if we had decided to go with the alternate distributors and didn't need the books anymore. But those books are already, those were kind of in Diamond's warehouse before all this even started. So we should be able to see those on the 20th as well. So for any of the stores that didn't do the alternate distributors, because some stores had new comics from DC this past yesterday, actually. Like I said, it was only a couple of titles.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't know what stores were even open to get them. Again, none of the stores here in town were open for it. So,
yeah. Different parts of the country, though, have different, some people haven't been locked down at all yet.
Well, exactly. You know? That's what I'm saying. There's some, there might be some stores that did get them. And yeah, for them to have been open this the entire time
with no books,
when not had new books, but still, I would argue they were in better shape than we were in.
Oh, of course.
Because they were still able to make, a, you know, few hundred bucks a day or a week through the whole thing, even without comics, where we were just shut down completely. So all things being equal, I still would have rather been in their shoes than mine. But
yeah, there's certainly different degrees of it that are
exactly.
But it does have to be difficult, though, to be open, not have the pandemic be as critical in your area. And be sitting there going, this really stinks, because it does have to take a hit.
Oh, yeah. Well, but like I said, hopefully they were able to generate enough to just pay their utilities and their rent, because they were also in a position, you know, we mentioned it when this whole thing started. Not having books has is a double effect, because, yes, you don't have the sales, but you also don't have that bill either. So they didn't have to make enough to pay for Diamond because they weren't getting it. So, not knowing what everybody's operation looks like, you know, like if I could have been open just enough to make my rent and my utilities and my payroll, I would have been okay with that.
Yep.
I mean, I almost made it being closed. So, I mean, if I would have been able to been open, I definitely wouldn't have had any issues. So,
yeah. What's the other big one you got there for news?
Well, I don't know I don't know if I consider them big or not, but the next story is comes from Disney Plus, our old friends over there at Disney Plus. Looks like they have hired the writer for Russian Doll from Netflix, which is a show that I never saw, but actually she was the creator, Leslie Headland. And she has signed on to work on a new female-centric Star Wars show for Lucasfilm on Disney Plus. So details at this point are pretty sparse. Female-centric could be any number of characters. The two prevailing favorites are, of course, Ahsoka Tano. But the other one is Mara Jade. She would be a little bit more difficult to bring into the fold because her entire existence was kind of blinked out when Disney took over and wiped out all the pre-Disney canon that was going on. But they were able to bring Grand Admiral Thrawn back into Rebels, and he basically was in the same book that she started in, Heir to the Empire, you know, which was done by Timothy Zahn years and years ago. And she's a fan favorite character. Now, her character would have to be radically different than the one we would know from the books and the comics because she was, you know, kind of a love interest and a wife to Luke Skywalker. And obviously that didn't happen throughout the movies. So,
right.
You know, she would have to be a different type of Mara Jade, but.
Well, is it possible that they're able to make it work?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're able to make anything work.
Right.
You
could, there's a big gap in there. We don't know what happened with Luke.
Well, that's true too. I mean, I guess we could shoehorn it in there, if we wanted to. But
the problem is though, you would have to like, who would play Luke? Or would they just say that she was?
I think they would just say it. It would be kind of like, well, 20 years ago, she was the girlfriend of Luke Skywalker, and here we are now, and that would kind of have to be the end of it, you know.
They'd have to throw some flashback scenes in like they did with Leia training with Luke type deal.
Because, again, I don't remember the whole hit. You know, I read those Heir to the Empire books, but, I mean, that was 20 years ago, and, you know, I didn't follow her history throughout all the books, so I don't know exactly what happened with her, but I know that she was very closely linked with Luke. You know, and they had a lot of adventures and things like that. So, so we'll see. I'd be happy either way. I would love for it to be Ahsoka, because I feel like that's kind of where they're going with that character.
Yeah.
You know,
well, what I think is funny is
towards a Disney Plus show. So,
yeah. But what I thought was funny when I heard that news was, what if it's a character we don't even know about yet?
Well, that's what I mean. It could be
a completely new character.
Exactly. Could be anybody. Those are just the kind of like the two biggest names that are being thrown about.
But
It could also be like Ming-Na Wen's character from The Mandalorian. We could get Carrie Russell's character from Rise of Skywalker, which would be really great. Or again, anybody that they just have completely made up. Gina Carano could be getting a show. Cara Dune could spin off from The Mandalorian and get a show. Or like you were saying, it could be somebody we've never even heard of.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just some brand new character.
Right.
So
the only thing with the Ming-Na Wen character is, what's the story? I guess
she's a bounty hunter. But would it be much different than The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
You know, like how many bounty hunter shows do we need?
You right. Know? True. But, what I was going to say about it being like a completely unknown character is like the odds of it being like the Ahsoka character or anybody that we know, we already know those ones. So why would that even be news right now?
Right.
You know, we already know they're bringing pretty much Ahsoka for, I mean, that's been in the news for a while. So I have a feeling it's something other than her.
It could be, yeah. Well, I bet, again, the only news we've got, well, and it's not even confirmed, but the only real confirmed news we have for Ahsoka has to do with The Mandalorian. It's just everybody else's speculation that she's going to go off and do her own show. I think it's more wish fulfillment than anything that Lucasfilm has come out and said.
Well, when I wish it becomes news.
That's true.
So.
We've been right
on this show.
Yeah, we've been right so many times.
We actually have. I can't. I wish we should have wrote them down, but we actually have been right on a few things.
Like, I don't know if it tips the scales to how many times we've been wrong.
No. I forget those, so it's tipping the scales because you always forget when you were wrong.
We throw those out of the scale. So
if you throw enough crap against the wall,
Then
we'll stick.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So
yeah, we're waiting for our second time.
That's right.
All right. What else we got? Yeah.
Well, and then the biggest, I guess this is what you were referring to.
Well, I think it pertains to comic books, but yep.
Does it pertain to comic? Maybe we're thinking about two different things. I don't know.
Go ahead. It will.
AMC? Is that what you're thinking? Okay. Yeah. So AMC announced yesterday that them and Universal Pictures are getting a divorce.
That's not what it said, but yep. Go ahead.
Well, there was a couple of things that went back and forth. The very first news story I read yesterday was that the CEO of AMC took a pretty hardline stance against Universal Pictures based on comments that they made, having to do with the success of Trolls World Tour going to VOD and how that they, going forward, were going to look to do some kind of dual releases on their, upcoming projects.
Right.
The CEO of AMC took a hard stance and said, look, we're not down with that. And going forward, we're banning, Universal Pictures from our theaters. We're not going to have them. Later on in the day, the Universal people kind of walked that back a little bit and put out a statement saying, that's not what we meant at all.
Right.
But I haven't seen the third email from AMC saying, well, let's kiss and make up. Everything's all better. As far as I know, AMC is still looking to, to ban them from their theaters.
The reports that I read were that AMC is doing this because of the remarks, and it's basically a shot across the bow. Like, this is like a public negotiation.
Right.
You know, they're not banning them permanently. And they're also not exclusively banning Universal. They'll ban anybody that does this.
They were just the first ones.
They were the first ones. So it's basically a warning to, no, this isn't going to work. And what I thought was funny is I thought it was ridiculous of Universal to come out and tout, like, we did $100 million. Yeah. When everybody was stuck inside.
Well, right. There's no guarantee that future VOD releases would do that kind of money.
And even if you did $50 million, all right, so you cut it in half, which you would probably do probably around $50 million or whatever. You'd do a lower number because people would be you're at $100 million because people had no choice.
Right.
So what do you think it's going to be if you have a choice? Right. The number's going to go down. But the theater owners, and AMC being one of the largest, that's money out of their pocket.
Right.
Because if you want, I completely agree with AMC doing this. And it's, you're going to come out and say that this is a good idea. If no theater owner came out and said exactly what AMC said, they would, all the studios would be like, oh, okay, this is cool. Nobody's going to argue with us. We'll do this.
Right.
I thought it was
funny that the other major theater chains were conspicuously silent through all this. It kind of made me think what it made me think of was that AMC was DC Comics.
That's why I said this
Cinemark
is comics.
Was Marvel.
Yep.
It was like, I'm going to go out there and say this, and Marvel's going to sit back and listen and see what the fallout is.
See? I said this is just like the comics. It's digital to physical. So, it's the same thing.
You have the big Regal Cinemas and Cinemark and some of the other major
Showcase,
chains.
So whoever
they were kind of quiet on that. I can't imagine they have differing opinions than AMC, though. And it was also funny that the one theater that's closest to going out of business is the ones making the most noise. Because AMC
they have nothing to lose.
Exactly. They're like, hey, we need this VOD money. We can't survive without it. So they're already in trouble and in danger of going bankrupt and going out of business anyways. And, obviously can't afford for studios to start pulling releases from the you know, from the theaters and doing it all on VOD. So
I love the comments on Twitter, and you see the people that are like, it's like, how self-centered do you have to be and not see that this is a business thing back and forth when you see people like, oh, I like to stay, I'd much rather stay home and watch it on my couch than go to, and then they give this horrible description on what it's like to go to the movies.
Right.
Well, yeah, if you don't like going to the movies, don't go, but you still should have to wait your whatever it is, months, before you can sit on your couch and comfortably watch it. Otherwise, the people that do like to go to the movies, that's going to go away.
Right.
Because if everybody had their choice, they would just stay home. But that's not what these things are. And that's not the bulk of where the bulk of the money is made either.
No.
You know, it's like the studios want the theaters as much as the theaters want the studios.
Yeah. And like you said, Trolls World Tour, I mean, it performed fantastic on VOD. But like you said, everybody's stuck at home. What were the numbers on VOD for, like, Bloodshot or Invisible Man? Those guys right. aren't out there yelling about how much money they made on VOD. So it was the combination of it being the sequel to a very popular kids movie and all the kids being stuck at home, homeschooled with their parents who are bored and basically looking for anything to do for 2 hours that doesn't involve cutting their kids into little pieces. So...
Right.
You know, of course they're going to sell VOD tickets too, because now you can buy it for $20 and for 48 hours you can put that on endless loop and park your kids in front of it.
Right.
You know.
And for all intents and purposes, you lost probably half, because if the average household has two kids, right? You have one kid. Most people have two, right. I guess is the average, a 2.5. So let's say they lost half the ticket sales, or actually... two-thirds, really, right? Because a parent and two kids would have to go to the movies. Well, you just charged, what was it, $20, which would be like one ticket. So for ticket sales, you lost two-thirds. So let's say they made $300 million on a movie that's actually just decent money for a movie when everybody in the world...
Well, for a Trolls movie, it's very good. I mean, for that movie, though, it's very good. I think compared to what the other one did in the theaters, this was very comparable.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it. Now, let me add this variable in. You're stuck at home and you have nothing else to do. Here, kids, put this on. Everybody should have been putting that on.
Right.
And legitimately, it only did, for all intents and purposes, $300 million.
It says the original Trolls collected $153.7 million total box office over its run.
That's low.
That's what I'm saying. This one did almost $100 million just in its, you know, rental strategy. So, I mean, take that and base it on the profit margin between, you know, the $153 million and giving half of it to the theaters versus... Right. You know, $100 million and keeping basically all of it. And I think they actually made more money from the second one than they did on the first one. And that's why they were out there talking about how successful it was. But like I said, is that going to translate for Bloodshot or for,
no,
you know, Invisible Man or, I mean, would it even translate for something like Endgame? Probably not, because,
No.
You know, Endgame, you had people go see it 4 times, 5 times. They went with groups of people. Like, VOD for Endgame would never approach, you know, $3 billion.
In a non-pandemic environment, you put Endgame out, you can cut those sales by, like, what, 70%?
Right.
Because I'm going to invite people over to my house. We're all going to watch it. And then if we want to see it again, we'll watch it again the next day.
That's what I'm saying. You just don't come anywhere near $3 billion. So,
right.
Even if I'm Universal, bucks, I wouldn't be out there banging the drum for the one movie where it worked.
I know. You know? That's what I'm saying. It's like when everybody was trapped.
Exactly. Like, you know, talk about all the other Universal movies it didn't work. And every other theater for that matter. So I don't think it's a viable model long term, but it's definitely, you know, it opened a few eyes to the possibilities of how much money they could make.
Well, I think they might shorten the window, which I think would be cool. I would have to see that, and it's like maybe instead of it being 3 months before it goes to digital, like right now it's about the window's about 3 months, and like or 2.5 months digital, and then 3 months comes out on disc.
Yeah, which is already just a giant turnaround. I mean, it's such a quick turnaround.
Oh, God.
Anyways, like, can you not wait? Like, I remember having to wait like a year or more. Well, I mean, when we were kids, when we were kids, it never happened. But I mean, even when it first started happening, like it was a year or more. Now you're getting them in a couple of months,
right?
You know, like I don't. How much faster do you need it? Like I said, I guess the fastest thing would be direct to VOD, but I mean, there's no way to get any faster than that.
Yeah,
you know? And I mean, hell, it probably takes them 3 months to manufacture the discs just to get them put out. You know. They already are putting them out.
Yeah, well, no, they're working on that, but while they're making the movie, because some of the commentaries are being done, like, you know, the commentaries you get in it, some of those are done before the movie even comes out.
Well, yeah,
you'll hear the guys talk and be like, oh, I can't wait to see how this does in the theaters. And you're like, really?
Well, that part of it, but I'm talking about just the physical pressing of the, you know, packaging and distribution. I mean, that's what's holding it up. I mean, any faster than that, and you might as well get a free DVD with your ticket when you come out, when you go to the movie, you know? So.
Yep. But, yeah, I don't see that changing too much. The most that I would see is shortening the window, but you know, it's going to be a different world. Same with comic books and we're all seeing the different stuff, so.
Yeah.
All right, you got anything else?
Not as far as news goes. No, it was just quiet week.
Yeah.
You know, again, everything is kind of wound down, so there's just not a lot of news anymore. I mean, again, there was tons of delays for projects that were announced this week, and I didn't even bother to write them all down. But basically anything that you wanted to see, you're not going to see it for 6 months to a year longer than what it was going to be before.
Yeah.
So... there was a whole slew of those announcements this week. But other than that, the big news came from Diamond. Like I said, it was kind of the comic news and maybe getting the world open back up again.
That will be cool.
Yeah,
that would be cool. And hopefully it looks like it might even coincide with maybe we get curbside up here. That's what I'm hoping for like.
Well, that's the whole thing. And it works out well even for you guys because... You know, let's say you're able to open on the 18th, which is a Monday. 2 days later, you have new comics. So,
right.
You know,
right.
Now, again, maybe not the ability to go in and browse the rack for those comics. It might be curbside at that point. But again, you might get curbside prior to that because we did. We got curbside a week prior to our expiration date. So you might be looking to get curbside, okay, maybe on the 11th or the 10th.
We're going through a lot more stuff up here.
So,
though.
Yeah, you just never know. But it would be great timing for you guys to get the okay to open mid-May and have comics waiting for you when you open. You know,
that would be. Well, I have a feeling that even the stores up here, they'll do mail order.
Yeah, well, they will.
Because they're already doing that now.
Because like I said, now I'm going to be in the same boat as the other stores that, you know, have been open all this time, is I'll be open on Friday, but no new merchandise to sell, no new comics. Luckily, I have shelves full of stuff that people can buy, but, you know, again, it's new comics that drive people into the store. I'm expecting a rush would be 5, but, you know, a rush of people coming in just because they've been stuck and haven't been able to, you know, go out anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that translates this weekend and, you know, lasts until we get some new books to sell.
Yep. All right. Well, I got some tweets from the week. So this one is pertaining to last Thursday's show. It comes from Adriano the Nerd at Adriano Tweets 87. He says, great episode. I'm a physical guy all the way. I'm hoping he's talking about comic books.
Me too.
He says, all right, I'm sorry about that. I interjected. I'm a physical guy all the way, but I step into a comic book store maybe once a year. My go-to store has a great online platform, and I do all my purchases through there. I think this is going to be the future for all physical copy sales sooner or later. And then Dr. Joe replied to that.
I hope not.
Well, yeah. Dr. Joe, well, he's in Australia, so I'm wondering if it's different down there and it's...
Well, right, but again,
well,
it just...
I know it's different down there, but...
Well, again, online sales, you're pretty much only going to sell what you've signed up for. You know what I mean? It's just harder to get to get the browsing, yeah. You know, where people just see something and go, oh, that art looks great, and let me grab that. So online cuts down on that a little bit.
Well, let me, I was going to say this a second ago, but it actually pertains to this too. So say we're not open up here and come the 20th and we have to do mail order. It could be a way to train everybody that you do your online browsing. And like, for instance, like I would have to go online and go to like Previews World and see what comes out that day and then put my order in with, you know, like Ernie and Slade and say, this is what I want. And I still buy it through them.
Right. But even still, in most cases, it's just cover art. You know, you don't get to pick it up and flip through it. And,
right.
You know, now some books have preview pages, but not all of them. Like even on Comic Hub, which is what we use for our store, more and more books are starting to show preview pages. But you still have to take the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, let me read you this tweet. It's contradicts Adriano. Not in a bad way, but Dr. Joe. Replied to him, said, over the past year and a half, thanks in part to John and DJ, I've gotten back seriously into comics, and I'm not only enjoy having the physical copies, but I also the in-store experience. I'm worried that if I lose both of those to digital, I may fall off the comics wagon again.
Right.
And then Adriano said, I'm a firm believer in physical, not just for the experience of holding something in your hand, but because it's yours, you own it. It's not just a license for you to access.
Right.
That's a huge conversation we have over in the home theater world, which Adriano's actually, he came here from the home theater world. Right. That's how he heard about us. But yeah, so getting back to Dr. Joe's, it's that when he replied with that, that's what I was talking about last week, in that it's that comic book, it's that in-store experience where sometimes you don't even know what you're going to buy. Or if you're going to buy, you're just going to the store with your wallet in your pocket. You have a conversation. Maybe you pick something up. Maybe you pick up a book. Maybe you pick. How many times have I said it this year? Just talking to you like, this isn't my genre, but somebody said to read this and it's awesome.
Well, right. And how many times did you walk in to pick up your stack and Ernie or Slade or whoever had two books
chased you through the parking lot
but just had two extra books in your stack.
Right.
To say, hey, I think you'll like these. And, you know, then you have the option, obviously, to say yes or no. But that just doesn't happen online.
Right.
You know? Now, again, there are some platforms. Like, I don't know if we get to the point where, like, let's say my website functions similar to Amazon. Where, you know, you throw something in your cart in Amazon. And then underneath it, it suggests, like, three more things for you to buy.
Yes.
That are related to that item. Now, like, my website isn't sophisticated enough to do that, and most comic book stores, I'm sure, don't have websites that work that way, but that's where you would have to get to, right? It's like, oh, I'm throwing Detective Comics in there this week, so I'm going to pull anything Batman-related and suggest it underneath there for you to buy.
That's what it would have to be.
Yeah. But even still, then what if the books aren't related to those other items? So... I guess, like I said, you can't replicate the in-store experience when it comes to comic book stores.
Right. It's harder to upsell. It's harder to sell, period, you as the owner to be like, to recommend stuff through the digital. Not that it's impossible. You can have that conversation through a text or something.
Yes,
or
you can.
An email.
You can obviously you can market those new books because we do that.
Right.
You know, we do that with our...
It's just not as personable.
With our system. But right, it's not personal.
And but I think And that's where I was saying, I keep going back to, I don't think comic book stores are going to go away, because not only do you want to sell, but people want that experience of walking in and be sold to. They want that conversation. So I think there's always going to be a need for stuff like that, where I actually still go to the bank. There's a few people at the bank that I like, and I could do all my banking digitally, but I still go to the bank.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
You know what I mean? So it's that one-on-one part that you kind of do like. I don't have to go to the bank. If those people like weren't there anymore and it was a new person, I probably wouldn't go to the bank anymore. Right. I'm going to see those particular people, right? And it's, you know, and I think the stores, going into any comic book store, whether it's your store or like when I went down to the one down in anywhere, you just walk in and you start talking. Everybody's the same. Right. They're your store owners. It's fun to do. So that's why I don't think it's like there is a need for stores to be there. So that's what, when we were talking about it, it was, will stores just go away? And I think it'll be, certain stores will, of course.
I was going to say, stores will.
Right. You and I were talking. I mean, it could be you. If
could
things don't go right, it could be you. But there will be a store. There will be stores for people to go to. Right. And, you know, if yours went away, would you never go to a comic book store again?
Probably not.
You wouldn't?
I don't know. I might be done. I mean, I already don't buy comics anymore. I don't have a collection. I read comics
through
my store. Yeah, but I read those comics right. in my store. I don't buy them and take them home and collect them anymore. So
right.
if my store went out of business, I wouldn't start collecting comics again. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I'm sure I would feel the need every once in a while to just walk in to a comic
right.
book store, but definitely I don't know if I would do it weekly anymore. Which is sad to say, because I own a store, but but again, I don't personally collect them, so I don't know what my habits would be if I didn't have the business anymore.
Right. So, all right. Hang on. Actually, we have some more here. So we also got JR, Hooded Collector, chiming in. This is actually him saying, Brightside Chat, chiming in on the DC distribution deal. Seems like a more common thing lately. Four Horsemen Studios, creators of Mythic Legions and one of the hottest collection lines, signed with Megalopolis Toys for distro. So he was saying, you know, basically saying it's happening everywhere.
Right.
I know it's happening in the hockey world. I'm pretty sure that Pure Hockey is the distribution for the region, if not the country now. And they distribute to all the other hockey stores around.
Right.
You know, so like CCM and Bauer, I thought of that last week. I'm not 100% sure that I know people that work there and I've known for years, but they became because their warehouses are so big,
right.
they can just ship the stuff out. But that's not as timely though, so it doesn't really, same with the collections thing. I don't know if that's as time. I'm not really into that, but
right.
it's not as timely as books. Like you were saying, I totally get the conflict of interest story that we were talking about last week, where it's like, if the distributor is also selling and he's not going to short himself before he shorts you,
right?
Where are you going to go for your Batman book on that day that you want to read it spoiler free?
Right.
You know, so it makes it tough.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, back in the day when there were other distributors, most of those distributors morphed out of comic book stores, you know, but they weren't giants like Midtown and DCBS. You know what I mean? It's not the same. And again, and that was years and years ago when the landscape was radically different than it is now. I mean, online, you know, market just didn't exist like it does today. So
right.
it's not apples to apples, but I mean, it has happened. It is a precedent in the past. I think even Diamond, Steve Jeppy owned comic book stores. But he wasn't that big of a competition to the guy down the street. So,
right.
you know,
yeah.
it's not like Midtown and these other huge stores. You know, so yeah, without rehashing all that, I don't know, but it does happen in other, you know, in other markets. In other industries
yeah.
as well. So
he chimed in one more time on Instagram. he came at us with. John from the Bright Side Chat spoke a lot about this on a recent podcast episode. It is worrisome to have a distributor be the competitor, when it is not the source of material. Hasbro sells direct and distributes, but does not allow resellers to distribute, to my knowledge. I wonder the same thing with Megalopolis taking over the distribution of Four Horsemen Mythic Legions. So, yeah, it's not an ideal situation. So,
no, and again, I understand where it was kind of birthed out of
desperate times.
Yeah, the thing is, with the announcement from Diamond this week about opening back up on the 20th. Like, there was no announcement from DC saying, okay, well, we're going back to solely distributing through Diamond.
Right.
Like, it looks like going forward, they're going to continue to use these other avenues.
Three.
And people are going to be able to choose where they get their books from. I don't know why you would choose to not get them from Diamond when you can, unless the terms they get are just so much better from these other companies, but that doesn't seem to be what's happening. The other part of it is, and again, I don't know if this will continue this way going forward, but as of right now, any books that DC ships through these other distributors, stores are able to sell them as soon as they show up in their stores. So if they show up on Tuesday, they can put them out and sell them. And
I think that'll trickle to Diamond. And
well,
I mean, is that
again,
kind of
I don't want New Comics Tuesday. Like, what difference does it make?
Right.
It just shifts the norm. It's still 7 days between deliveries, so.
Right.
But I guess my point is, like, do I want to be able to, like, if as a store, do I want to be putting my DC comics out and selling them on Tuesday and holding all my other books until Wednesday? Like, are people going to shop in my store Tuesday and then come back Wednesday? Like, I just don't think the advantage is that great. To be able to do who has the advantage is Midtown, who can ship all their books on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays,
right?
Because they'll have them. But that might not even go forward. Like, DC may walk that back once we get into the new normal. Because prior to the shutdown, even Diamond was allowing us to sell the books whenever we got them, because we weren't sure from one day to the next when we were going to have to close. So.
That's really kind of, like, puzzling, why they would even try to move it till Tuesday. Like, why even do that?
Well, they're just saying as soon as you get them, you can sell them. It might be Monday afternoon. It might be Tuesday morning.
But that, that creates such a mess for the world.
Well, exactly.
And with social media.
Well, for the world. I don't know if it's that big, but.
No. But comic book world.
I know.
I'm not saying, like,
I wish our industry was that important, but it's
country's leaders are going to be talking about it. But
exactly.
I'm saying in the comic book world, it's like if a book comes out, it'd be like, hey, I happen to get my copies of Batman. So on Sunday night, because my truck had nothing to do or was trying to beat a snowstorm. And now all of a sudden that's all over social media.
Right.
Because people in that region are reading about it. And you're like, well, son of a bitch,
Yeah, again, that's why I just feel like there should be. It's always been Wednesday. It's always been a day. It's fair
when
to
you
every,
have midnight show,
right,
midnight
it's
things.
Fair
it's,
to everybody.
It also
to have
makes it
differing,
easier,
and it makes it easier for the store.
Yeah,
right. Because again, I don't have to process books on two different days now. I don't have to deal with multiple invoices. I don't have to worry about it personally because I'm going to use Diamond regardless. So for me, it's going to be what it is.
But you kind of do, because what if the guys down the street are putting them out on Tuesday?
Right.
That stinks.
Well, right. To the point where if it starts costing me sales,
that's
then
what I mean. It's
then it's an issue. But
and I think a lot of stores are going to start talking like that. Be like, well, wait a minute. You got to pick a day.
Right.
We're either all going to Tuesday or we're all staying at Wednesday. But you can't be picking and choosing because. Oh, I got a different distributor, so I can put it out at a different time. Should be mandated by the publishers, no?
Well, right. And there's not, that's the thing. DC is the publisher, and that's what they're saying you can do. So, again, they have the right to do whatever they want with their product.
Yeah.
But there's just not a compelling enough reason to move the entire industry ahead of day Like, it just, I know. There's no reason to do it. Like,
it. I could tell you a reason not to.
Yeah.
Tuesdays are the days that Blu-rays come out.
Yeah.
So why would you want, I mean.
Why, right. Why compete?
Same. I do both. So yeah. Tuesdays, I know I'm going to Best Buy and it's different movies are coming out. That's what I look for. Wednesdays, I go and get my comic books.
Right.
Now, it's a very, very small reason, but it is a reason. Why would you double up on something?
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
Like I said, there's always compelling reasons to use other distributors if the terms are better. You know, like I moved away from Diamond when it comes to my graphic novels and my kids' books and all that other stuff because I get better terms and faster shipping through other companies. So, like I said, if the reason was compelling enough for me to get my DC books from somebody else, I'm not 100% saying I wouldn't ever do it, but thus far the reasons haven't been compelling enough to make me want to make that switch.
Yeah.
You know? Again, it's not that I'm super loyal, like willing to fall on my sword for Diamond Comics, because I've already kind of started sourcing everything else they sell, I get from other people. You know, to the point where really all I get from them anymore is comics. Because you can get better deals. I can get better deals on toys from Entertainment Earth, and I can get them faster, and I can get my pops direct from Funko, and I get my books from Ingram. So, I mean, there's multiple other avenues out there for stuff. But when it comes to the comics, like I said, there hasn't been a big enough reason for me to go somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah, well, I was hoping that maybe it would create competition so that it makes everybody try to be timely. But we have to get that timely thing nailed down.
Right. Well, and again, even if it forces Diamond to up their game, you know, even though Marvel's has the biggest share of the market, I mean, DC's no slouch. I mean, they're still a pretty big business for Diamond. So even if it forces them to say, hey, maybe we need to retool our processes because we're losing all these DC sales to these other distributors, it ups their game for everybody. Because then they'll handle all the books differently, not just the DC books. So a little competition could be beneficial for everybody, but I don't think the competition is going to be strong enough that it's going to be that big of a blip in Diamond's radar, you know. But if they were saying, hey, you know, we're losing 80% of our DC sales to other people because they're doing this or they're offering returnability or what have you, well, it forces them to take a look at what they're doing. So it could have a net positive effect, but I just don't see it being that big of a thorn in their side that it's going to make any difference.
We will see.
We will
see. So moving on to more tweets, this is going off of our episode on Monday where we talked about Blade. So Adriano chimed in again, and you saw these, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So his first one, he has three tweets here to get all his information in. By sheer force of will, I managed to convince my parents to buy this on VHS for my 12th birthday when it came out. I watched it on repeat endlessly. It drove them to madness. It was my favorite comic book movie until the sequel came out, which then took its place. He said, owned Blade 2 on VHS as well, then got them on DVD, and then again on Blu-ray. The Blade 2 DVD has some excellent physical features. I'm thinking back to that he's a physical guy.
Right.
So he goes, there's also this, so I may be a bit of a fanboy for Blade. I can't wait to see what the MCU does with him because Mahershala Ali is such a damn good actor, and he sent a picture of his action figure. He has
I saw that.
A really nice one.
Yeah.
So he actually really likes it.
Yeah.
And we liked the movie.
We did. We did
just
like
thought
the movie.
It was dated and the special effects were a little
little cheesy.
Yeah. I know he loves action movies. He follows me over on home theater and we go back and forth about different action movies all the time.
Right.
But yeah, it's And it was. I mean, I hope we we portrayed that we liked the movie, but there were, we just had a good time dissing on the special effects.
A little bit.
So, all right. Last thing before we get to, before we get back to some semblance of normalcy.
Yeah.
So I sent, I already told you about this, but I thought I'd talk about it on the air. I had a typo this week that I thought was hysterical.
Yeah.
So I sent out an email to some comic book stores to get some feedback for what we're about to talk about. And in my email I sent out to everybody, it said, I was giving them examples of what we talk about. And in my FOC section, I said, hey, you might not have FOC, but here's an example of what you could do. So I typed up some news, like what John would say. So I wrote, Arkham Comics and Games open for curbside. Oh, sorry. Here's the typo. What I actually wrote was this. Arkham Comics and Games open for curbside pickup last Friday. The typo came here. Arkham Comics and Games open fire curbside last Friday.
So we,
I got that, and
we went a little postal, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I read that. Luckily, I caught it just before I sent it out. But I'm like, I laughed hysterically because I was bored out of my mind. But I'm like, open right. fire curbside. And if you know John, he would never do that.
No.
I actually was laughing really hard at that because I could pitch you.
You could.
That's it. All right. So you ready, John? Ready
yeah.
to get to some comic books?
I am.
All right. Here we go. It's been a long time since we've said this.
It has.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't know the answer because I don't have your notes.
So. Well, you have your notes.
Yeah.
All righty. What am I spending my money on this week?
Again, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, you have notes, right?
I have nothing in speculative. All I have is FOC right, notes.
Just not the first part. So yeah. Speculator's Corner. We got some news. So what I did was to get back to some normalcy here, I'm going to have some contributions from different stores. And there, you know, I put out to three stores, Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham. I put out Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis and Legends Comics and Games in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Right.
So they've all said that they would contribute. This week is kind of like, they're not really sure on what to contribute. So I had to, you know, piecemeal it in here in different sections, but in Speculator's Corner, I have, so Friendly Neighborhood, Ernie said Diamond is resuming shipments of new comics, so it's redundant to what we already talked about. But he also put there are a handful of DC comics becoming available over the next few weeks. This is mostly minor titles and will not include Batman. A very small percentage of shops have chosen to carry them all. There may be talk that these are in limited supply and ripe for speculation. Don't fall for it. This is an abundant supply sitting at Diamond. As with most spec books, just wait a few weeks and pick them up for cover or less.
Right.
So I thought that was a pretty good piece of information, and it pertains to speculation. So yes. I put it in there.
Good.
Back issue bonus. We're getting into back issue bonus. Ernie comes back with from Friendly Neighborhood. Back issues. I would encourage people to forget about keys for now and just look for fun stories to read. So if you're able to get into your store like you are at Arkham Comics and Games,
yep.
get in there and just do what I've done in the past and just grab a book that looks good. And that's a great way to help support the store that doesn't have any new books at the time.
Couldn't agree more.
So, and look at that. That brings us right to FOC.
Look at that.
Before you get to your stuff, let me just say... So Legends had theirs. Right now, the only big development we are aware of is that DC Comics is continuing distribution outside of Diamond Comics. There are two other distributors they'll be using during this time. So Legends chimed in with that. That's Motor. And FSC said, yes, we will have books coming for this Monday, and John has his list, so let's...
I do have my list, and I was able to look at some variant covers and stuff today, which I haven't done in a while. So
Big fun. Oh, wow. Cool. So am I going to be able to see these and then we can talk about that on Monday too?
You could if you look them up.
Of course I will.
So from DC Comics, we have variant covers for Action Comics number 1023. This is a Lucio Perillo variant. Detective Comics, also number 1023, has a Lee Bermejo variant cover. Supergirl 42, Derek Chu, and Suicide Squad number 6, Jeremy Roberts. That's my favorite, I think, of the bunch, is that Suicide Squad. Another note, some of these are scheduled to ship for May 20th and others for May 27th. So these are not all necessarily coming out on the same day. DC didn't have any new series on FOC. From Image Comics, and by the way, if these sound familiar, it's we've FOC'd all of these books before.
In the past.
Yeah. So.
Well, what about the, we didn't do the variants though, did we?
It's not all of these variants, cause I don't remember seeing all of them, but I do remember for sure seeing the Action and Detective covers. I don't remember the Suicide Squad or the Supergirl covers from the past. So maybe.
Which one
they,
did you say you really liked? Sorry.
The Suicide Squad. So those might not have been available at the time, you know, image-wise when we first looked at them, but I had definitely seen the Action and Detective covers before. And that's why when we get to Image Comics, we've talked about Ludocrats already, but that issue number one is coming with three covers. From AWA, we've also talked about this book, Year Zero number one has two covers. Dynamite Comics has the Sacred Six number one. There's multiple covers here. This is like their end game. They're bringing all their, like, you've got Vampirilla and, Red Sonja and a bunch of their characters all coming together for this big team up book. So, that will be cool if you're into those characters. From Aftershock Comics, we have Dead Day number one and Disaster Inc. number one. Both of those have just one cover. By the way, that's Dynamite Sacred Six. If you've heard me talk about Dynamite in the past, you know there's like 27 covers for that book. from Oni Press, we have Rogue Planet issue number one. There's two covers for it. And from Zenoscope Comics, I really liked the Grim Fairy Tales number 37, Zeldivar variant. I think it's the C cover. But I thought that one was pretty cool. Marvel Comics has nothing on the list currently. The list is not finalized. There may be some more additions before FOC on Monday. The lists are finalized by noon on Fridays. So I can't imagine we won't have some Marvel books show up for FOC. But as of right now, there's nothing there. And that's it for FOC.
All righty. All right. So, do you have anything for checkout?
I don't, because I haven't read any comics.
All right. Well,
in the last couple
of
weeks, I read a book. I read a novel instead.
Oh, yeah? What'd you read?
I read the Sword of Truth series, and there was a new book that dropped on Saturday 2 weeks ago. So, that's what I read. I finished it the other day. So.
Oh, cool. So, I have a couple of books, and one I ordered. That's the Scout Comics White Ash number 4.
Yes.
And you got your money?
I got my $2, yes.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
I contributed. They sent half the money to John. That was great.
Yeah, they got in touch with me right away. I mean, it's pretty cool. Yeah, they were pretty good about it. I thought they might hold it and say, you know what? We got this $2 for you, and, you know, when you get up to 10 or something, we'll send it, but.
Exactly.
But no. Nope.
Actually, you got the money before I got the book.
Yeah, yeah. When you showed me the book, I already had the cash, so.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I said. I go, hopefully you'll get your money soon. You're like, oh, I got my money days ago.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great. So that really works. And I only ordered White Ash number 4 and really, really enjoyed it. Love the way this story is going. I've talked about it in the past. I don't know. How did I describe it before? It's like, it's, it, I don't know. A little bit of it's...
I don't remember what you said. I remember when you talked about it, but I can't remember how you described it.
Yeah, it's like a modern version of, I'm trying to think, it's like vampires and wolves type thing, but yeah. It's not. And it's, I don't know, the first book has, it's a younger, like a teenager trying to go off to college, but his father, you know, it's one of those, like, he just wants to get out of this little small town and blah, 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 but he knows nothing about his past. And it's a take on that whole, like I said, vampires and wolves, but it's not vampires and wolves. So in big surprises at all the ends of the books. And this is the first book that didn't have a huge surprise at the end of it, but it's still a really good read. And it's really, I mean, it's really good art too. I enjoy it. It's simple, but it's fun.
Right.
So the other thing, so because I ordered the book, they just sent this along, Scout Comics Stabbity Bunny #1. Variant cover by Richard Rivera, and it's signed by Richard Rivera, 68 of 100. And I know I'm late to the party because you've talked about Stabbity Bunny in the past,
right?
Have you read it?
I read one of the issues a while back. I read, but I mean, I don't read it monthly or anything.
I gotta say, it's really, really good.
Yeah,
I was surprised, like. We've talked about it. I mean, I think this was might have been one of the, like, in the first few months we were recording.
Yeah, and that first issue had jumped up. I don't know if you looked that one up or not, because I know you don't really follow the monetary side of it, but that right. might be worth a couple of bucks. I'm actually impressed that you cracked it open and read your signed copy, because
that's how I like it, and it's, I mean, it, I can slide it back in. Still
yeah,
looks the
no,
same.
I know, but
I was
well.
Very
usually, they're sealed and
no,
like
it's just taped on the.
Oh,
back
okay. Because usually,
of...
when they come signed, they're like sealed with a certificate or something. So, like, you know, you don't break the seal. But
no, just a piece of scotch tape on the back.
Oh, okay.
It was just nice. Yeah, it's a variant cover. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But. So I'll be honest with you. When we were talking about Stabbity Bunny, it had to be over a year ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I kind of like joked about it, like Stabbity Bunny. Like,
yeah.
Well, what could that possibly be about? This is nothing like what I could possibly have thought it would be about.
Right.
It's like I thought it was about like a bunny that just like
Hopped
you know like an
stab
all
people.
Yeah, like it's an alternate world. Like the bunny goes around, stabs other animals. I had no idea. I just read the first issue. I want to get issue #2. Yeah. I have no idea where this thing is going because the bunny, it's not, at least in this story, in #1, the bunny isn't a bunny. It is a bunny, but not a real bunny.
Yeah.
This is sounding really stupid.
No.
It's a comic book. So
it's a comic.
It's, no kidding.
So.
It's not a real bunny.
Yeah. It's a comic book.
No, it's
book
a stuffed
bunny.
Animal.
Right.
It's a little girl stuffed animal. And in this book, basically the little girl gets kidnapped and, you know, mayhem ensues.
Right.
And you have to, is that the one that you read?
I don't think so. No, I think I read like a Christmas special or something. They put out like a special.
Yeah.
A while back, and I read that, but I didn't read any of this series.
You're going to get at least $2 more.
Oh,
I'm thinking
sweet.
you're getting $4, $6, maybe $8 more.
All right, man.
Yeah.
I'm almost ready. I almost have my rent, so.
Yeah. I was going to say when I.
So get on that ordering now.
When I contact Scout Comics, should I just. Who do you have your lease through? I'll just
oh,
have
yeah,
the
just
check
have
me
go directly
to them.
There you go.
Send me all your Stabbity Bunny and send the check directly. I'll pay your rent.
West Side Shopping Center. Send it to them.
There you go. But yeah, I'm probably going to get, I'll pick up like maybe 4 more books and see. Sure. I don't know how long this story takes.
I don't either. I think it was on at least issue 5 or 6, if I remember right. I
got to be careful. I'll say send me like
all
three
of them.
Or 4 more.
Yeah.
We got all of them, and they're in that like book 500. And you'll be like, thanks, Teach.
No, they're not past 7 or 8 for sure. I don't know.
Okay. I can easily look it up. But
yeah.
So, yeah, Stabbity Bunny. I'm really, really surprised. The artwork is, I love it. I love the artwork. It's very dynamic. It pertains to the story, and there's two different types of artwork for different parts of the story they're talking about.
Right.
There's one part of the story that actually has a rhyme to it, which was pretty cool. If you haven't seen Stabbity Bunny, or you are and you're laughing at me because I'm late to the party, well, okay. But if you haven't seen it, give it a read. It's pretty good.
Sounds good.
So, you got anything else?
No.
All right.
I do not.
What have you been watching?
Not a lot this week, actually. I've been playing a lot more games, playing a lot more computer games and stuff this week. So
we haven't been watching. I have one for you.
I watched Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu. which was...
Is it about Pyromaniac?
No, it's just a drama. But my sister recommended it. It was actually pretty good. It has Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. And I can't think of the husband's name. but anyways, it was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was only 6 episodes, I think. And that's really all I watched this week. I watched the newest episodes of Harley Quinn and Clone Wars, for sure. And I heard you talking about that Clone Wars episode at the end of your last daily show. But, you know, I'm thinking that, and it's going to be a while before I do another Star Wars rewatch, because we just did it for this show not too long ago, and then I just did it again during the quarantine because I bought it all. So it's going to be a while.
Home theater,
but I have a feeling that the next time I do my rewatch, between episodes 2 and 3, the last 4 episodes of this series are going to be the movie that I watch in between. Because
so
it really bridges.
It's
kind of like Rogue One bridging the gap to episode 4. This really bridges the gap. I mean, the whole series does, but these last 4 episodes, especially where, not to give spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen it, but the end of episode 10 now starts taking place concurrently with the beginning of episode 3 of Revenge of the Sith. You know, they're happening at the same time. Like when Anakin and Obi-Wan leave on episode 10 of the Clone Wars, they're going right to the beginning of, you know, Revenge of the Sith. So it's kind of like a bridge that is going to be required watching. And yes, some parts of the story, you know, don't make as much sense if you haven't watched the entire series of Clone Wars,
but even just these
last 4 episodes, I think, are going to be a pretty important bridge to that show.
It really is. I think those 4 episodes are going to be like Rogue One, like you said.
They're
produced like a movie.
They are.
They're completely different. There's a completely different feel from this to the previous episode. Or any of the other Clone
Wars.
Yeah,
well, and I don't know if you saw...
Including the Clone Wars movie.
Yes,
You know?
That was the movie that almost... I'm surprised the series even got made.
Right.
Because that movie wasn't great. But what I was going to say is, I don't know if you saw this bit of news, but for this episode of Clone Wars, Ray Park actually came back and did the motion capture for the Darth Maul lightsaber battle with Ahsoka.
Oh, okay.
Because Dave Filoni, who's the producer, says nobody can be Darth Maul like Darth Maul. And he actually came and did all the motion capture work for that lightsaber battle, because that was a pretty impressive battle between him and Ahsoka. Again, one of the best lightsaber battles put on film. And when you were talking about it, I hadn't seen it yet, but I watched it later that afternoon.
Did I spoil it?
No, you didn't spoil it. No, but no. I watched it later that afternoon, and I was blown away by that lightsaber battle.
It was so good, and it's such... I love... It's pretty old. If you don't know what it is, I mean, we can talk about it now. But just the idea of it, isn't it up in the rafters?
Yeah.
and everything they had to do, and it, they did such a great job of portraying the balance that would really take.
Right.
You know, and the fact that it was animated, I thought made it even more impressive because it's animated. They could have very easily had Ahsoka not lose her balance at times and not waver.
Right.
And, you know, and, but then when, what I thought was great about that is that, like, when she did waver and when Maul would waver or fall or whatever, it just, it enhanced how much and, like, how much skill they were utilizing just to stay up there and do what they were doing.
Right.
And again, I know this is all animated, but what an incredible lightsaber battle, and the way they, the lightsabers glowing and moving and up above and all of the scaffolding lighting up. It was awesome looking. I don't even know if you could shoot that in real life. I mean, you'd have to shoot it on a floor.
Right.
And then make it look like it was beams.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do it live action. But yeah, it was very impressive. Like I said, a lot of people look down on animated content. But there's no...
Not any of our listeners. We're comic book readers. Well, it's all animated.
That's true, but... You know, my wife walked in on me the other day watching... what's that new Pixar movie? Onward? Onward, or is it...
Maybe, yeah.
Called Onward?
I haven't seen a Pixar in a while.
The one with Tom Holland and...
okay, yeah.
Yeah. I was watching that when she came home from work the other day, and she kind of made fun of me, like, for watching the Pixar movie by myself, and I was like, this is an awesome movie. I don't know what you're laughing at. But, but yeah, she pokes at me when I watch the... Like, when I watch Rebels and Clone Wars and stuff like that. I said, you just don't
I'm
get
still
it.
Working my
I
way
said,
through
just because
Rebels.
It's animated doesn't mean it's any less compelling storytelling, you know?
Yeah, it's still a story.
It's still, right, it's still a story, and it's great. So...
Yeah.
Step off,
I'm actually...
Wife.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Monday being obviously Star Wars Day, and
right.
we get a bunch of content, but I'm really looking forward to doing all four of those last four episodes of Clone Wars in a row.
Right.
I may even, before I get to the last episode, do the previous three,
and then
which,
watch it.
You know,
yeah.
Three comes out on Friday. Can't wait for that. But it's so well done.
Yeah.
I may have another piece for you to watch. Have you seen Never Surrender?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What is it?
So Nick talked about it on Nerdy Legion.
Okay.
I heard it today. I heard it drop today. I was listening to it. So Nick and Martin were talking about Never Surrender. It's a...
Sounds familiar, but I don't...
It's on Amazon Prime. It's a documentary about Galaxy Quest.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it, but... Oh, yeah, I'll probably take a look at that, though.
And it has Will Wheaton in it. It has... Who played... I think it was... He said, who played Data? What's his name?
Brent Spiner. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Brett Spiner and Will Wheaton were actually on this, saying that this was the, like, Star Trek movie that never got made.
Right.
They were, like, the Galaxy Quest.
Well, Galaxy Quest was awesome. Yeah. I love Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And just listening to them talk about, and when Nick was describing it, he's like, you've got to see this. It made me want to go see Galaxy Quest again.
Right.
Plus, I want to see this show. And it, but yeah, that is such a great, I saw that in the theater, but I remember seeing it by myself.
Right.
Because nobody
wanted
to go see it. Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
But I still got it all. But yeah, they interview most of, he said they interviewed all of the cast. I don't know if they would have been able to, I don't know when it was made.
I'll have to take a look at it.
It's on Amazon Prime.
All right. Yeah, I'll take a look for it. I watched the Hemsworth movie on Netflix, the one that just dropped.
I haven't seen that yet.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm dying to see it. I'll probably watch it tonight.
Yeah.
I just haven't had a chance because I'm in the middle of going through for the anniversary date, and I'm actually thinking I might do this every year. I'm doing Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
This week. And because they're longer movies and it's tough to book time in my theater,
right.
I'm doing them in pieces. I can't sit down and do the entire movie.
I get 35, 40 minutes at a time.
Well, that's the thing. It's shortening my Rebels time. So I'll get up in the morning and I'll watch an episode of Rebels, and then I'll watch like an hour or so of a movie and I'm working my way through, and I'm doing it in 3D too, and it looks, it's, I'm having a blast with it, and
right.
It really is a lot of fun to go back and watch these movies, and it, especially on the anniversary date, because it, I'm thinking back, even watching Infinity War, thinking back 2 years ago, and how you were feeling when these things happened, and
right.
when it, you know, when all of the incidents happened and in the movie, and even at the beginning of, say, like Infinity War, and you have that scene when they jump to the Guardians of the Galaxy, and the music's playing, it's kind of upbeat,
right?
I thought, watching it again now, and you're like, you know what's gonna come, and you know how depressing and downhill this entire thing goes over the next two movies or movie and a half at that point. And it's just like they really kind of brought you up at the beginning, and then it just, like, everything goes down and down and down, and it's just but a lot of fun to do. But Martin talked about he really enjoyed Anna.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen Anna? I've seen Anna.
I haven't seen it, but I know what it is.
Yeah, so he brought it up because, and I thought it was great, and I thought we would talk about it. It's like, if you're dying for Black Widow content.
Yes.
Because we're not getting Black Widow. He really enjoyed Anna. He hadn't seen it before. I've seen it, and it is. It's one of those, like Red Sparrow, and he mentions that in the show. It's like, it's one of those, like, almost like a Black Widow knockoff. So, pretty good. The other one that I would recommend, and if Martin's listening, is Salt. Have you seen Salt?
Yes, I like that one.
I like that one too. Yeah. I like that. It's not a little bit like you know, Russian spy type stuff, female Russian spy. So you got a little Black Widow feel there, but I really enjoyed Salt. So that was the other one. But anybody that looking for Black Widow content, there's three Black Widow like movies.
Yeah. There was another one too. What was the other one? Oh, I guess you just said it.
Red Sparrow.
Red Sparrow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Which is, like, you know, just a bird, just another colored animal, that's, right? It's like Black Widow, Red Sparrow.
Black Widow, Red Sparrow. I was like, before that movie even came out, I'm like, wow, kind of hitting it on the nose there, aren't you?
But Red Sparrow, I liked because it was very R-rated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get a chance to see that. And
oh, yeah, I did. Sexy time.
Yeah, so.
I think that's what they said on Nerdy Legion. They called it sexy time. But the other one is I started watching again as fun thing to occupy my time and great memories. Remember the TV show Chuck?
Oh, yeah. I just did a rewatch about a year ago on that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm doing my rewatch right now.
Love Chuck.
Love Chuck. And what's her name? Natasha? What was it?
Oh,
what's her name? Her real name. It's like Stravinsky or something.
Yeah, Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah. Strahovski. Yep.
She's on
She's on something now?
Yeah, she's on Hulu. Shoot. Yeah, she's on another show on Hulu right now. I can't think of what it's called. I should know it because I watch it with my wife, but yeah. Big fan of hers. Everybody's yelling at the thing right now. Handmaid's Tale, that's what it is. She's on Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is it was a show I didn't think I would like because of the subject matter. No, Handmaid's Tale. But I actually do like it. Oh, man, of course I was going to like Chuck. but
Chuck is, if you haven't seen the show, definitely check that out. It's you know what I likened it to, and I looked it up? It is basically an action version of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And they both came out the same year. Which I thought was funny. They both came out in 2007.
Oh, I didn't realize that. But.
Yeah, I looked it up when I was starting back in on it. And I'm like, this basically, you can actually go through and almost put each character in.
Right.
It's like, it's when you get to the nerd herd. But yeah, I mean, it's a great show and it's right up our alley.
Yeah.
They talk comic book stuff. They do all that. But great action too. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great show. Really great show.
Yeah. So, all right. That's all I have for this week. You got anything else?
No, sir.
All righty. That Sounds good. All right. Look at that. We're getting back to normal. This is fun.
Yeah.
All right. What have you guys been doing this week? Let us know. What are you watching? Maybe we can... John apparently is out of content. So
I am,
whatever.
And I'm going back to work. But like I said, I kind of reconnected with Magic the Gathering, and I've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering online this last week and a half. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
I got
good.
The bug.
You're
back,
out of content.
I haven't played that in a long time, so I kind of got hit with the bug again.
There you go.
Yeah. But I'm going back to work, too, so I don't need the content as much anymore. So.
Well, you can put stuff in the store.
Yeah, because I won't have as many advertisements to run right now.
Yeah.
On the TV.
And only 6 customers at a time.
Exactly.
So, all right. Let us know what you're watching for content or reading for content. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion, like Nerdy Legion. You can check them all out at nerdylegion.com. And please, if you're on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. We could really use that. And that's about it.
That's it.
All right. We will be back on Monday with Star Wars Day.
All right.
And we're just going to chat Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking
about,
but we just will figure it out.
We're going to have a good time.
Yep.
So, we will see you on Monday.
All right.
Have a great weekend. See you then.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.